The scripture lesson this morning comes from John's Gospel, the 6th chapter, verses 1 to 21. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea and got into a boat and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. Here ends the reading from God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, we come hungry for a word from you. We come together at the feet of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we pray that he might speak, so that where there are vacant places within us, we might be filled, so that your word may overflow in us into a world that is hungry for a word from you. Oh God, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some people say that there's not really a miracle at all in this passage. And to use a phrase that my grandmother used to say, "I think there's more than you can shake a stick at." There's plenty of miracles here in this passage, and maybe you can help me pick the one that is there at the center. Those who say that there isn't a miracle at all in this passage say that what happened really was that the little boy offered up what he had to give, that it might be shared with the rest who had gathered there, and that because he started sharing, everybody else started sharing too. So not everybody ate on just the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, but everybody ate because those 2 fish and 5 loaves got shared, and one act of sharing inspired more. If that's true, then what it means is that somebody, actually everybody, stopped worrying for a moment about whether there would be enough. Everybody there stopped worrying about what their fair share was. They stopped worrying if their neighbor had worked hard enough to have earned a full belly. They stopped worrying about whether their neighbor deserved to be fed or not. If that's true, if one act of sharing begat another, begat another, begat another, thousands of acts of sharing, it means that our basic human nature, which is seemingly to accumulate as much as we can possibly accumulate, so that we do not ever have to endure doubt about where our next meal is coming from, it means that our basic human nature was overcome and it was overwhelmed by a desire and a willingness to share. And that there were no exceptions. That one went from another, went to another, went to another, without one person stopping the chain. So, look around you. When you go out of here and you listen and you, I don't know, go to Crabtree this afternoon and watch and listen. And some people will say that if we insist on a rational explanation for how that many people ate and how many that many people were full, that we can't allow for there to be some kind of supernatural thing at work with some left over, then we have missed something of God's ability to transcend what we believe is possible, that we've domesticated God. But I say that if 5,000 people shared what they had, each out of their abundance, without incident, and nobody grumbled and said, you know, you should have gotten up early like me and brought your lunch, and then you wouldn't be hungry. Or, I've only got enough for me, I'm sorry. Or, you know, if I give you this, you better not waste it. Well, you tell me, if in this land, with an ever-widening gap between rich and poor, in which there are more poor children now than there were during the Great Depression, you tell me that that's not a miracle. If Jesus can help us to see our utter dependence on each other, if Jesus can help us to see our utter communality, our belonging to each other, that one hungry is all of us hungry. If Jesus can inspire a willingness to serve each other that is stronger than our tendency to self-preservation, then that is transcending what I know to be possible. It's a miracle. Of course, it could also be true that Jesus turned what was just a little into enough to go around. Maybe there is a supernatural element to the story. I think of the story of Moses and the burning bush, and the Bible says that Moses was puzzled because the bush was burning, but it wasn't burned up. It didn't get consumed. And so maybe this is what happened with the fish and the loaves. Maybe they got passed around and everybody ate, but they didn't get consumed. And if that's true, it means that Jesus doesn't really need a lot to give people what they need and to reveal the kingdom of God in the process. Because his disciples were convinced that there weren't enough. One of them said, it would take us 6 months worth of wages to even give these people a little bit, like an hors d'oeuvre, like a cracker. One of them said, there's no way, this is not enough for everybody that is here. And so you might say that his disciples had been fully indoctrinated by a culture of scarcity, which teaches us to believe and to behave as if there isn't enough of anything to do something that really matters. His disciples are church folk with a budget problem. And they have line items. And what's in the line item constrains their ability to do ministry. Like, we only have this much to spend on VBS. And it's not a lot. And there are other churches who probably got more. And how much can we really do with this much time and money? His disciples are church folk who look down the road at places who have more of everything. People who have more space, and they have more technology, and they have more money, and they have more people. And they begin to lean towards being defeated about what can really be done with what they have. This is just not enough to do much of anything. So Jesus makes it enough. So that people will be fed, yes, but also so that those who would follow him will not fail to take into account what is possible when we do ministry in the name of Jesus. That is, that two fish and five loaves aren't very much, but there's Jesus at the center of it, and that changes the equation. That this Jesus is the one who uses small moments, who uses individual conversations, who uses one person helping another, who uses a simple group of people, 12 of them exactly, to change the world. And so the miracle might just be that Jesus requires only a little bit, only a small seed with which to do ministry. That even the minuscule amount that we have to offer, which we are not sure is enough. And a lot of times it's not even what we have to offer, it's what we're willing to sacrifice out of what we have to offer. Because there's what we have, and then there's what I'm willing to give up. Jesus can take even what you're willing to give up, that little fraction of a fraction, and use it to change somebody else's life. Use it to change our community. Use it to change the world we live in. And this itself is a miracle. Of course, Jesus also makes use of those disciples who doubted what could be done. And they're not wrong, because good leaders have realistic goals and expectations about what can reasonably be accomplished in a set amount of time with a finite amount of resources. Philip and Andrew are just being practical and smart. But what Jesus seems to know is that their expectations are limited. And their imagination that they have for dreaming about what is possible, it doesn't go far enough. So Jesus draws them in, and he says, the other versions of this story is told in six different times in the Gospels. It's told in 5,000 and 4,000. It's told in different ways. And then on some of the other versions of the Gospel story, Jesus actually gives the fish and the loaves to the disciples and says, here, you do it. It's not Jesus who feeds the 5,000. It's the disciples who take what Jesus has given them, and he says, here, you go and do it. In John's passage, he sends them around to get the leftovers. He says, you don't think there's enough. Take these baskets and go see what's left over. And how many baskets were there? Did you listen? One for each disciple. To know that in the hands of Jesus, all things are possible. And so they become the agents by which God's bounty is distributed in the world. Those who were not sure if there would be enough, those who felt defeated by what it would take to feed all those people, they are given the job of going around and collecting the leftovers. Can you imagine their confusion? Because not only, I mean, it would have been one thing if it fed everybody, and now there's more than they started with. Having enough would have been one thing, but more than enough? And then inviting the very people who weren't sure it was possible to be part of it? To invite you and me, our imaginations, our limited imaginations that can't imagine the possibilities that exist in doing ministry with Jesus? Those of us who are willing, more than willing, perfectly comfortable living the possibilities of God, to say, here, you just pick up the leftovers of what I have already been doing. And so here lies another miracle, that Jesus can take those of us whose expectations have been domesticated and tamed, just when our vision has become narrow, just when we have settled in, just when we believe we have a grip on what can be done and what cannot be done, on who can do it and who can't do it, on where it will reach and where it will not reach, Jesus draws us into something bigger than we might have imagined. You know, Jesus has people come to him with all kinds of hunger. And you can understand a certain anxiety about whether or not you'll have what people are hungry for. Because we did this Maundy Thursday Agape Meal. Those of you who came to that. And it was the first time that we had done anything like that, and we had the folks from Good Shepherd coming, and we put up a sign-up sheet because for two reasons. One is because if other people bring stuff, that means that I don't have to get it all. And two, that kind of gives you a hint of like how many people are going to come. Because if you have 20 people signed up, then you can expect that many more or whatever. So, we had a few sign up, but it's the first time we've done it. And so I'm at BJ's, walking through the aisles, and I'm just throwing stuff in the cart because my greatest fear is that we're going to have all these people show up and we're not going to have enough to eat. And so we've got all these groceries, and I'm standing out there, and there are people in the kitchen, and they're prepping the food, and I just keep seeing people come in, and people come in, people come in. I'm thinking, oh gosh, are we going to have enough? I think we finally threw away the last of the leftover hummus like a couple weeks ago. So there was enough. But you get worried, like, what if nobody likes hummus, and we don't have enough of an alternative, and what if there are so many people and they're expecting dinner and we just have this light sort of fare? What if I don't have enough to feed the hungers that I can't possibly anticipate? Because Jesus has people coming to him, and some of them are hungry. Like, they're really hungry. Like, not a metaphorical hunger, a real hunger. The kind of hunger that few of us can really imagine. And he feeds them. And he has people coming to him who are hungry to be made well because they've been sick for so long they don't know anything else. And he feeds that hunger too. He has people that come to him looking for a new start, another possibility, to know that they are not bound by their past. They come hungry for the promise of new beginning, of grace, and Jesus fills that hunger. They come looking for a place where they can belong. A lot of people who have been shut out and sent out and sent away from every other place they've ever been, every other community they might have belonged to. And they come to Jesus looking for a place where they can be welcome. And Jesus fills that hunger too. And so we wonder, I think, sometimes about how can we feed all these people? And what are they hungry for? I don't know, what were you hungry for? What are you hungry for? Were you hungry for God's grace? For somebody to tell you that you're not what you've always been? Were you hungry for a place where you could be made to feel welcome? Were you hungry for a place where you could be accepted for who you are? God gives us that. He satiates our hunger. Not just so that we can be filled, but he gives us leftovers too. He gives us more than what we need. And so you have a place where you have been made to feel welcome, I hope. And so that is what you have to share. You know a God who is willing to speak, to move in the deepest parts, the most broken parts of your life, who has been willing to heal, or is working to heal, or slowly, slowly, slowly healing the broken places in you. And you have that to share. All of us probably got that Tupperware in our refrigerator. You got that to share too. And it's all of it. I don't know. You might look for one miracle, but there are enough miracles to go around. Enough miracles by which we may all be fed. So just pick one.